Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
I believe united we stand, and we have common ground to find, and we're going to find it.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this is Rewind for a very, very busy week in the Capitol. But first, the return of WISI was there. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald calls for bipartisanship. An addiction treatment specialist talks about the limits of CBD oil. The new superintendent of public instruction on why she took the job. Democratic Representative Jimmy Anderson says his disability cost him a vote on the lame duck session bills. And Speaker Voss says history will be made next week when Governor Evers talks to a joint caucus of Assembly and Senate Republicans. WISI was there.
Now more than ever, we must continue to work in the bipartisan fashion to address the concerns of Wisconsin. We must demonstrate an ability before our body on issues related to the Milwaukee arena, HOPE legislation that addressed the opiate crisis, and we must continue to work on behalf of constituents who sent us here to do that. Once again, I call on all my colleagues gathered here today to enter into this legislative session with that renewed spirit of cooperation.
CBD is nothing but a molecule. It is a non-psychoactive cannabinoid. It's put into energy drinks. It's put into protein bars. It's said to treat somnolence, fatigue, malaise, weakness, insomnia, decreased appetite, diarrhea. It may be a wonderful placebo. What it actually has been proven to do is treat some rare forms of epilepsy, and there's no proof that it does anything else at all.
But now Governor Evers came to you and said, I'd like you to be the next superintendent. And why did you say yes?
I was excited because we're starting to embark on this area of mental health, looking at early childhood, all of those things that we know contribute to closing the gaps. So for me, my job wasn't done yet, and it was an opportunity to kind of lead the agency to the next phase.
SJR2 and AJR1 seek to remedy this scenario by putting victims' rights on the same legal playing field as criminal rights. And by elevating victims' rights to a constitutional level, those rights will be properly balanced against the defendant's rights.
Wisconsin Statutes Section 1989 states, no duly elected or appointed member of a governmental body may be excluded from any meeting of such body. Republican leadership took advantage of the process and of my disability to exclude me from participating in the extraordinary session.
Next week, we are going to be joining our Senate colleagues for the first joint caucus in my legislative career, where both caucuses get together and sit down, number one, and talk with Governor Evers. We want to find ways to say, let's pick issues we can work together on and show that we can, as opposed to picking issues that cause a fight, which reinforce what people do not want to hear today, which is arguing and complaining.
Today we turn towards the future. We are moving forward together. So, folks, let's polka tonight and get to work tomorrow. Thank you, and on Wisconsin. Thank you.
JR, before I give you a chance to talk about Governor Evers' very busy week, let's listen to about 30 seconds of his speech Monday after he was sworn in as the state's 46th governor. Please.
This is bigger than me. This is about the people of Wisconsin. It's about setting aside political interests and personal ambitions to work together on solving problems. It's about putting people first.
People who were at the inaugural ball said he did indeed polka into the start. But now let's talk about where he went on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and where he's scheduled to be today. So you want to kick it off?
Oh, it's all symbolism.
Yeah, so but where and why?
Healthcare with a Cross, Tuesday, education in the Madison area on
Mendota
Wednesday.
Elementary School.
DMV in Wausau on Thursday, Lincoln Hills today. So he talked about healthcare, education, roads, and that there was a failure of leadership in the prison system with our youth up in Lincoln Hills. So he kind of went 4 for 4 with those. And then he signed some executive orders this week on healthcare and state employees. I mean, they're all, you know, not to diminish what those orders will do, but they're kind of symbolic in a lot of ways and send a message about how he plans to govern.
So you're saying his travels statewide was eminently predictable. He said he was going to do that, and symbolic, and reaching out to people who, remember, he carried 19 of 72 counties, mm-hmm. may not have voted for him.
Well, the criticism has been about his cabinet is that it is mostly from Madison and Milwaukee, mm-hmm. which is true. Mm-hmm. But he has said that they'll know, people of Wisconsin will know he's the governor of the entire state, because of where he's going to go and where he's going to be, and there you have him around the state. Now, little side note, Governor Walker was roundly criticized for his use of an airplane, state airplane, last campaign. So we have to watch how Evers addresses that issue, because if he used the state plane as much as Walker did, guess will be an issue in 2022. So how does he get around the state? I asked about that question. He said, well, you can get a lot of places on four wheels in Wisconsin with reasonable drives. So just keep pay attention to that.
Okay. Now let's turn to something that you alluded to. He issued 4 executive orders. Hmm? Number one, state agencies must take whatever steps are necessary to prevent discrimination based on 15 criteria, including a sexual preference. Cabinet secretaries must recognize and do all they can to respect state workers, and must promote positive morale and foster a collaborative work environment. I probably mangled that word. Department of Health Services must draft a plan to apply for federal aid to expand Medicaid program to middle-income residents. And finally, agencies must draft plan to prohibit health insurers from basing coverage on pre-existing conditions. Why the flurry of executive orders?
Again, symbolism. So Governor Walker was known as somebody who pushed through Act 10, which pulled collective bargaining powers from most state and public employees. So Evers is sending a message about how he's going to be a different governor comes to public employees. Now, Walker would argue that they did things like the civil service overhaul and bonuses to try and reward good employees, but there's a perception that he was, you know, kind of anti-public worker from those people who work in those fields. Here you have Evers trying to say, I'm going to be different. With health care, Walker refused to take the Medicaid money, expand under the Affordable Care Act. Evers wants to do that. Now, Republicans, the legislature, are going to have a say in that, and so far they're saying no. But Evers is drafting the plan. He wants to, so we're going to go ahead and draft a plan to do this. It'll be in his budget. So, you know, that's what he's after.
Well, on a day when 800,000 federal workers are not getting paid because of the Washington shutdown, mm-hmm. do you think our state employees, as a result of executive orders and because they are getting paid, feel better now?
Maybe. You know, I mean there was such an animosity toward Walker from some people in the public sector, you know, public employee sector, that they were thrilled the day that he left, just that he wasn't governor anymore. So sure, yeah, I'm sure there's some folks who are elated to have Tony Evers because he's not Scott Walker.
Right, and that footage of him shaking the hand of a Department of Motor Vehicles worker in Wausau, okay, that's symbolism. Mm-hmm. Okay, topic three, we have our first African-American lieutenant governor, Mandela mm-hmm. Barnes, and let's listen to a little bit of what he said after he took the oath of office, please.
The gravity of this moment is not lost on me as we strive for equity for all people in a place that has not always met its commitment. In a state that must deal with extreme racial imbalance, we seek to not only change what is possible, but to change what is expected. Because we have a responsibility to make sure that opportunity exists in every community across our state. A person's zip code should never determine their destiny in the state of Wisconsin.
I looked it up. Mandela Barnes is the first lieutenant governor from Milwaukee since 1971. Mm-hmm. He's 32 years old, which is, Mr. Evers is 67. And he served in the state assembly. He honored Vel Phillips, the first African-American to be a statewide elected constitutional officer. Do we know how, have you heard how Governor Evers is going to use Mr. Barnes?
Well, he's talked about some things, talking about racial imbalances, talking about equity. So we'll still see. I mean, Governor Walker put Rebecca Clayfish in a role to kind of talk about economic development. So we're seeing today in Lincoln Hills, Mandela Barnes was with Tony Evers. Now, we can recall past lieutenant governors who weren't traveling with the governor very often.
Well, Governor Doyle put Lawton in charge of the arts board. Go ahead.
Governor Thompson and Lieutenant Governor McCallum weren't real close. So you're seeing a relationship developing so far, and they talk about this, that they become good friends, that they are together a lot. So there is that going on. And with Barnes, I mean, remember, just 2 years ago, well, 2.5 years ago, he challenged Lena Taylor primary for U.S. State Senate, lost. And
she's never forgiven him for that.
But I saw a picture of them camping together this fall. So there is some bridge, or at least temporary, built.
Thanks for the correction.
But I mean, this guy went from losing that primary in August of 16 to being lieutenant governor in the span of, you know, more than 2 years. So, you know, it's a little bit of a rehabilitation for him.
Okay, next subject. Next constitutional officer I want to talk about is the Attorney General, Josh Call. And Mr. Evers didn't talk about the lame duck bills. He offered more of an olive branch in his speech. Mr. Call came out swinging. So let's hear a little bit of what JR says. Came out swinging, please.
Last month, the powers of two of our state constitutional offices were diminished after the election for those offices had been held. That action, unprecedented in Wisconsin, and designed to hinder our ability to do the jobs that the voters elected us to do, will have an impact. Irrespective of the action taken by the lame duck legislature, the priorities of the Wisconsin Department of Justice are changing. I am calling for a red flag law that will allow law enforcement or family members to go to a judge and ensure that somebody who is a threat to themselves or others is temporarily disarmed. I am calling for universal background checks for firearm purchases. We'll revitalize the Environmental Protection Unit and bolster our consumer protection efforts.
It strikes me that Attorney General Call laid out what he hopes to get done in his first term. He called for a red flag bill. I think Florida has one that would, use his words, temporarily disarm someone who's dangerous. Called for universal background checks, which I think Charles Franklin poll says...
Yes, quite polls, popular.
Quite popular. He called the lame duck sessions unprecedented, and more must be done for school safety. He also made a point of getting some applause. I'm going to be more vigorous in environmental protection. So I talked to Majority Leader Steinicke. He said, yeah, we Republicans think the only really partisan poke in the eye came from Mr. Call. Your take on his speech?
So most of the time you cover inaugurations, they're generally speaking kind of like high on, you know, platitudes and flowery language and not a lot of specifics, not a lot of calls to action. This was an example of one that was a little more, you know, call to action, more partisan. Now, you could argue, and if you're a Democrat, you probably would, there's a justification for that, and that is a lame duck session we saw in December where the legislature, run by Republicans, Governor Walker, went out of their way to take some things away from the incoming Attorney General, to change the rules from what had been in place for Brad Schimmel. Now, Robin Voss, the Speaker, defends this, you know, to his blue in the face, but there's no two ways about it. You can kind of pick and, you know, pick over the guff of the governor, but the AG was really the one that had the most oversight, most things taken away in that package of bills. People I talked to, Call kind of swung back. Now, with the things he called for, the red flag law, universal background checks, making schools safer, I mean, they're things that are generally fairly popular. It's the stuff about the lame duck session and talking about, you know, being more vigorous on environmental enforcement. The question I've heard from people this week is this a sign from Josh Call of how he's going to be as Attorney General? That is, this is the path he's going to take, and that's, you know, something to watch.
And when Governor Evers was asked about the red flag law at the elementary school in Madison, he said, I support it. I don't think he could have said anything else. Or there would have been a wedge driven in the first week in office for both of our those constitutional offices.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss expressed some, you know, interest in it, but didn't commit to it. Said, you know, there's something to explore there, but you got to be careful about constitutional, your constitutional rights. But yeah, so I think of the speeches I heard, Josh Calls is definitely one of the more part. Now, you know, Doug La Follette had a couple lines in there, but Call got most of the attention from the approach he took.
Right, and Josh Call just got some national high profile. He was just on the CNN. I'm sorry, he was just on the press conference in Barron County, which grateful that the 13-year-old girl was found. So this was his first moment in the national spotlight.
Yep.
Cannot hurt.
No.
Okay, now I want to turn to the civics lesson from Assembly Speaker Voss that he gave, and let's listen to his summary of why the legislature, he believes, is the most important branch of state government. Please.
The constitutional authority clearly gave preference to the legislative branch, giving it powers to write the laws, to allocate funds, and create the means to generate revenue. When you get right down to it, while the Constitution specifically provides guidance for the powers of each branch of government, it spends significantly more time on the legislative branch. With the newly elected statewide leaders, some will now claim Wisconsin voters want us to veer into the far left lane. But government control over our lives doesn't make us more prosperous, government spending doesn't grow the economy, and socialism doesn't make us more free. To my Democratic colleagues, your side isn't more virtuous than ours just because you want to spend more than we do. Please respect the fact that we just disagree and we aren't hateful and we aren't evil.
What was the purpose of Speaker Voss's civics lesson?
Speaker Voss wants to be seen as one of the most powerful people in state government, and in some ways almost or as an equal to Governor Evers. He is trying to elevate his branch and say, we have all this authority, and it's also why you're seeing him staff up right now. He's pulled in some position authority from the clerk's office and Sergeant Arms to kind of add more staff directly under him.
Why don't you go a little deeper on that? Who is he hired and why?
So some of the names, Heather Smith, who had been Medicaid director under Governor Walker. Joe Hendrick, who was in DWD under Walker, also was the consultant on the maps Republicans drew in 2011, former state lawmaker.
Yes.
Another guy who was an aide to Walker, I'm sorry. But in talking to people, they're viewing this as Robin Voss feels like during the 8 years of Governor Walker, Republicans, legislature, ceded too much authority to the executive branch and relied on the executive branch to be the messenger because Walker had the blade pulpit. He could travel the state. Now Voss, people tell me, feels like they have to fill that vacuum. They have to step up and take the reins and be more of the GOP voice. Well, doing that is adding these staffers, and there comes this concern we talked about last week, the shadow caucus, that this is creating this kind of pool of employees that we remember 16, 17 years ago, we found out they were being used for partisan reasons. Now, I'm not suggesting that's the intent, but that's a slippery slope argument you hear from people in the Capitol of, okay, we're going to have a budget that's pretty busy from now until like June, if they get it done on time. What about September this year, October, November? Like, what about next year when they're done in February or March and then they go off the election? What are these guys going to do? There's a concern about how the staff is going to be used. But to Voss, people tell me, this is bringing in expertise into his office to help counterbalance Tony Evers as the governor.
Okay, now let's talk about his speech. We've now talked about his speech on Monday and heard a segment of that. Then yesterday, he and 62 other Assembly Republicans released a letter to Evers saying, here are 11 subjects that I think we might be able to find common budget grounds. Just quickly, income tax reductions, enhancing high-speed internet access, how can you disagree with that? Pre-existing condition coverage, we'll get to that when we talk about next week. Support for K-12, expanding senior care to cover flu shots, how can you disagree with that? Preventing homelessness, again, that's a how can you disagree? So what was he saying? And I'm not going to read all 11 because it's on your website. But what is the message here compared to the Monday?
Oh, we can be bipartisan. We can work together. There are areas of opportunity to work together. I mean, Voss has already talked about doing his own budget, or the legislature's own budget, I should say, that they would ignore what Evers puts out there and pull their own, that's an option. He's drawn lines in the sand of we're not going to do the Medicaid expansion, we're not going to raise taxes, we're not going to do this and that.
Right.
So this is now an olive branch back to Evers of saying, well, here's where we can work together.
Well, but Speaker Voss drew two lines. We are not going to raise income taxes. Mm-hmm. We are not going to expand Medicaid, which is a top priority of Governor Evers. Mm-hmm. He did not say we're not going to raise transportation funds.
Good point.
Was that a big omission?
No.
Significant omission.
The question goes back to like this past budget where how do you offset it and can you get support in the Senate for that? Because some Republicans in the 17-19 budget had a proposal floated to cut income taxes and then raise the gas tax as an offset. Walker said no way. Is there now an opportunity to do that with Evers? Here's the rub. how would you pay for that gas tax increase? And by pay, I mean like cut the income taxes. Well, how do you pay for that? Where's the revenue come from? You know, Tony Evers has talked about manufacturing agriculture tax credit.
Limited again.
Putting a cap.
The first 300,000.
Yep, of income that's subject to the credit. Anything above that is not. That would save a bunch of money. It would help offset the cost of what he wants to do, which is a 10% tax cut for middle-income filers. Well, Robin Voss and others have said they're not going to do a cap manufacturing ag credit. They think it's an important thing for Wisconsin's business community and agricultural community. So if you're not going to have the revenue from there, where do you find it? Because, oh, by the way, Evers wants to fully fund his Department of Public Instruction budget. That request is a $1.4 billion in new general purpose revenue. He wants to fund that. Where is this money going to come from?
Although revenue projections are still coming in pretty favorably.
Yeah.
Now, next subject, the commonality here is the involvement of the courts. So I want to talk about four separate issues, and let's talk about them separately. Governor Evers wants the state stance, which is a curious word, in the lawsuit filed in Texas to void the ACA changed. We still haven't seen his letter to Attorney General Call, have we?
No. He says it won't violate the law. The law now says, after the extraordinary session in December, that the governor no longer direct the AG to pull out of a lawsuit or join a lawsuit. So what's he mean by change the stance?
Okay.
So does that mean that, for example, just throwing an idea out there, that Call can say, we no longer oppose the law, we're involved, we're going to support the law? I don't know. That's what we're waiting to see. How is that law, that letter crafted?
Okay. Now let's come back to, as we alluded to in which I was there, Democratic Representative Jimmy Anderson has filed a complaint saying under is it open records?
Anyway. Public meeting law.
Public meeting law. Because of my special needs, I'm disabled, I'm in a wheelchair. I had to leave the assembly floor, and I was not there because of my special needs when they reconvened, I think, 4 a.m., and took a vote?
At least 4 a.m., yes.
So he's filed a complaint. You heard Speaker Voss, Assembly Majority Leader Steinicke, saying all these bills were passed legitimately. So that's an interesting complaint, though.
I'm not a lawyer. I've never dealt with a complaint like this. It's interesting new ground. But we've both been around the Capitol overnighters for years. I mean, they're nothing new. But is there an argument made that you're intruding on what Jimmy Anderson's ability to participate in doing this? I honestly don't know.
It's a fascinating claim. You and I agree on that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Then League of Women Voters and other groups did then file a lawsuit to overturn all the lame duck bills. I haven't read the lawsuits. Maybe you have. We don't have a court date. It was filed in Dane County, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Dane County Circuit Court?
The Republican joke for the last 8 years has been the way a bill becomes a law is you pass the bill in both houses, the governor signs it, then you go to Dane County Court.
Yep.
Then you figure out if it's a law or not. So we're back in court over this. Again, I'm not a lawyer. I would never predict anything about a courts would do. But I also will tell you that I never imagined when I first came here to cover politics, I spent so much time in a courtroom following lawsuits over laws or charges filed. I mean, it has become a piece of the political beat in Wisconsin to be a court reporter as well.
And the final segment that we want to note involving courts is Republican legislators asked a federal judge, don't take any further actions on the redistricting challenge, the challenge to the lines drawn in 2011 by the Republicans, because of other pending national court cases.
U.S. Supreme Court's taken up cases from two other states, and that will have a huge impact on what this thing looks like. So wait for that argument, wait for that precedent, and then go forward after that.
Okay, we're done with the court beat. Let's take a look at your stock picks.
All right.
Rising.
Who do we have rising this week?
Jennifer Nashold.
Oh, Jennifer Nashold. Okay, so Jennifer Nashold is going to become a member of the 4th District Court of Appeals without having to even mount a campaign, really, because she qualified for the ballot and nobody's opposing her. So the seat was open. She got out there early, lined up support. I talked to some conservatives who told me that they looked for somebody to run against her for this, because the 4th District Court of Appeals is basically southwestern Wisconsin, dominated by Dane County, kind of the heart of the liberal vote in Wisconsin right now, right? Tony Evers did well in southwestern Wisconsin. Then we looked for somebody, they looked at the results from November and went, that's a difficult race, and oh, by the way, if there's money to be had for judicial races this spring, it's going to be the Supreme Court race. So you add that up, there was no challenger from the right, look at other left-of-center candidates. She got out there ahead of them. She got good endorsements, out-hustled everybody, and got out in front, and it scared everybody off. And so now, barring a miraculous write-in campaign,
yes,
She will be a member of the Fourth District Court of Appeals.
That's a good pick for Rising.
After the April election.
Mixed.
So Craig Thompson.
Executive Director of Transportation Development Association, which is a sponsor of Rewind. Now the Governor Evers, Secretary of Transportation. Go.
Peter Barker was roundly praised as a pick for revenue by Republicans. Mostly, though, Republicans have been kind of silent about the picks, other than saying, well, they're all out from Madison, Milwaukee. Craig Thompson is the one getting blowback because he advocated for a group that lobbied on road issues and pushed for an increase in revenues, i.e. a gas tax increase. You have Senate Republicans who raised some concerns right after he was announced in December. This week, Scott Fitzgerald, the majority leader, came back to that and said, yeah, he's got a handful of people have talked to him so far. He's not sure where the caucus is at on the nomination because they haven't met yet. And he said, it's nothing against Craig. He's a good guy. I'm paraphrasing Fitz. It's this issue about him lobbying for the TDA. Now, the question that I have, what's that mean for the nomination? Because do you really want to start off things in the Senate where you reject a nominee for a cabinet position? Because, one, governors, there's a theory, you know, and same with presidents, that governors should be able to have the cabinet that he or she wants, right?
Yes.
They're their picks, they're working with them, let them have them. Two, it would send a message, some people tell me, because the blowback's mostly coming from the right kind of wing of the Senate caucus, that those guys are pushing people to do this. Because there's some more moderate members who go, well, if they put it on the floor and say it's okay, it's a free vote. By free vote, we mean that vote your conscience.
You get 14 Democratic votes. All you need is three R's.
That if that happened, it'd pass.
Yeah.
Or do they just never take up the nomination?
Okay.
To go through the hearing process, never vote on it, let him serve indefinitely without being confirmed, because it doesn't impact his ability to serve unless he's rejected.
And my only P.S. is at his press conference yesterday, Speaker Voss was asked about Craig Thompson. He said, look, it's the Senate that votes to confirm. My assembly doesn't. However, he said, I respect Craig Thompson.
Absolutely. Again,
there's a message there.
Nothing against Craig. The people keep saying he's a good guy. It's this issue about him lobbying for the TDA and what's that mean. But we'll see.
Okay. Almost out of time. Give us your falling.
So, Scott Walker, there's a way to leave office gracefully. And when I talk to people about what's happened last week, they're not seeing out of Scott Walker. He, on Friday, mused about running for office in 2022. He went out there and got on social media Sunday night and did like this 29 tweets in 45 minutes talking about his legacy.
Yeah.
He's struggling in talking to people and those who know him. It's like he's struggling to kind of come to terms with leaving office.
Yeah.
Like having a hard time letting go. And when also by putting this out there about 2022, if you're somebody who's really looking at running in 2022, you're kind of going, well, wait a second, you're kind of freezing the field because Scott Walker could be a potent force in a primary. But could he win a general election? Right? I mean, 3 years is an eternity in politics.
How many tweets did he put out?
29 and 45
minutes. 29 and 45 minutes. Okay, before we talk about next week, just a quick PS to, we noted the ceremony this Sunday for Bill Krause, and there's the email went out from Tony Sykes, Bill's widow, saying that the site has changed. They're now in the Great Hall. The event is this Sunday, 12 to 3 in the Great Hall on the UW-Madison Memorial Union. Okay, let's throw it forward. What to look for next week? I'll go first. Mr. Evers is going to have this historical meeting with both, you heard Speaker Voss say it's never happened before, mm-hmm. Assembly and Senate Republicans. I think you and I are hearing that's not going to be an open meeting.
Not asked yet, but I'd be fascinated to be in the room. We have that. We have the 15th is pretty much first day on the floor. Organizational day, so we'll have rules packages. You know, geeks like us go through to find out if there's anything they're changing or trying to like do differently. Rules packages. When will we have the first public hearing on the pre-existing conditions bill?
Tuesday,
coming out of the
Assembly Health Committee.
Mm-hmm. How is that going to go? And asking Evers about so far, he has been noncommittal and said they really should be looking at the federal law, federal government, not the state, because no matter what the state tries to do, it can't match federal protections. Because if I remember, understand this correctly, if you're a self-insured plan, so i.e. you're a municipality, a school district, a big company that does your own plan, like you don't have an outside provider, you do it all in-house,
right.
You can't be regulated by the state. So you can't require that coverage with that kind of a situation. So how's that bill play out? Dems already told me they have concerns about the lack of caps on annual and lifetime costs. So there's that concern out there.
And finally, we should get the letter from the governor to the attorney general talking about how this, quote, back to the word stance, should change in the ACA lawsuit, right?
Yeah, just a few things to watch next week.
Yeah, right. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for January 11.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.